What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Tuesday afternoon, we have Sue's News coming up here in just a few minutes. Fred is in the studio. Sue is doing the show from home this afternoon, but she's still with us, and she will have Sue's News in just a couple of minutes. I was bragging the fact that school is back in session and all this stuff. Then I get the email that they canceled soccer practice for tonight because, you know why, right? Yeah, because, you know, of this that we hear all the time.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
It is kind of ridiculous. I mean, she had some games yesterday and on Saturday morning, and you know, you're all exposed in the sun. The people watching it from the stands in the shade could barely survive, and these kids are running around. So I'm not crazy that it was canceled because I'd like her to stay active, but I do understand it when it's this hot. And I think this is going to be the week. We get out of this week, kind of look around the corner here. Maybe we should get Dave Murray on in the next few days, but we got temperatures in the 80s coming around the corner. And we could always get a little hotter in September, but I think we'll begin to turn the corner, Sue, is what I'm trying to say.
Didn't I get a text earlier, not that you would know this, but from the city that said, hold on, here's what it said. The National Weather Service has extended the heat advisory until 8 p.m. Tuesday. And I was all happy that it was going to end tonight at 8. Nope.
Right. Nope. Unfortunately. Yeah, it's kind of brutal out there. And, you know, now the question would be, how are we going to keep the little 10-year-old occupied tonight when she should have been running around on a soccer field and, you know, not on the iPad, because it's the first day of school and I'm guessing there's not going to be any kind of homework or anything. Yeah, I'm going to take the puppy tonight. I'm picking up the puppy and I'm going to take him for a walk. So I got that. Hey, did you hear how MSNBC has changed its name, or it is changing its name?
No.
A little bit later? Yeah, so this is interesting. It's not MSNBC. It is going to be MS Now. Here's Joe Scarborough making the announcement.
New name for the network by the end of the year. We will become MS Now, which stands for My Source for News, Opinion, and the World. And look, they even have a graphic up. We're going to be moving in this direction, MS Now. I'm excited about that. So I'm excited about this, too. It's like, you know, what's in the name? Well, whatever you put into the name.
The name, you see, is meant to reflect the channel's mission to provide breaking news and best-in-class opinion journalism, says Rebecca Cutler, MSNBC's president, in a memo to employees. Today, I want to acknowledge that for many of you who've spent years or decades here, it's hard to imagine that the network by any other name. This was not a decision that was made quickly or without significant debate. So you remember, this all started, I had to kind of cross-reference the date, with MS kind of, Microsoft taking an interest in this. So it was a pairing between Microsoft and
NBC.
And that was, I think, in like 19... I had this written down, Fred, 1996. I can't believe it was that long ago.
Wow.
And then so I was going to try to pull this audio, but I think our audio systems kind of got blended, and I'm not sure if the bite still exists. But I worked with an anchor reporter in Milwaukee by the name of Contessa Brewer. And Contessa became a pretty big part of the MSNBC broadcasting in the mid-2000s, I would say. I worked with her in Milwaukee in the early 2000s. She goes to the network. She does a lot of stuff right now on CNBC. She's sort of someone who does a lot on sports wagering. So I know, Fred, we tried to get her on last year. But I had asked her a question. Now, this would have been, I'm guessing, 2007 or 2008 when I asked her this question. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it said, I said, you guys sort of fancy yourself as the left-wing, you know, Fox. And the soundbite that I would always play, and this was featured in my open for the longest time, that's crazy talk. No way, that's crazy talk. When it was pretty obvious to everyone, that's exactly what they were doing. I don't know, do you know why NBC wanted to separate MSNBC from the news product, and that's part of what this is. I guess they're not going to be on Peacock. Those are staying with Comcast. So the NBC brand and Peacock will stay with Comcast, but this is part of, and this is where they get official with the language in the memo. This gives us the opportunity to chart our own path forward, create distinct brand identities, and establish an independent news organization following the spin. CNBC is going to stay the same. That stands for Consumer News and Business Channel, but it will be accompanied by a new logo without the Peacock when the separation is complete, and all this is supposed to happen at the end of the year. So I didn't know this, but they said that MSNBC, ever since this split was announced, has gone on a hiring spree. They've added 36 reporters, journalists, so-called journalists, as they prepare to separate itself from NBC News. So I guess they're not going to share the, you know, the same reporters as they have. They're going to have their new reporters, which is kind of interesting.
Wait,
so
what's it called again, then, the new one?
It is MS Now, MSNOW. So My Source News Opinion World. You think they could have done better than that?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's, I guess they have to do it because NBC is requiring them to sort of go in a different direction. But as so often is the case, when we hear about these things, it doesn't sound like that one's really something that comes off the tongue very well. People are still going to call it MSNBC, right?
Oh, for sure.
It's kind of like the Sears Tower in Chicago and Riverport Amphitheater here in St. Louis. That's right. We're gonna call it what we're gonna call it. There was something NFL related. I'm gonna hold off on that. Brian Kilmeade kind of popped off on something related to the NFL that I kind of agree with. In just a little bit, we'll have Sue's news, and then Shannon Robinson is gonna join us at the bottom of the hour. I love Shannon. She is someone who tweets very voraciously. She makes a lot of points about education issues. We're going to, you know, talk a little bit here this afternoon about COVID with Jen Tsai and the director of a new movie, which is called Generation COVID. Shannon was just absolutely brilliant in the era of COVID. That's how I got to know her, and exposing some of the nonsense that was going out there in schools. So it was not her school that she was going to, but she posted some pictures over the weekend at Parkway South Middle School, where the first thing that you see when you, like, you walk in the door is a bunch of alphabet mafia, bi gender, blah, blah, blah stuff. And that's like the first thing you see when you go into the school. And there's another photo from a couple other schools too. Really? Really? We got to do this, you know, first and foremost, but I guess that's what they do. And I'm sure Rockwood has the same thing. But Shannon's going to join us, and we got Cusimano a little later this hour on 97.1 FM.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I'm talking. Yeah, okay, so we have some indication that the meeting between the European leaders Zelensky and Trump has wrapped up here this afternoon. And we'll have to see. We don't know if we'll have any kind of media event like, you know, we usually do. But one would think, Fred, that Trump would come out and say something about this. But we'll have to see. And, you know, maybe it was just a break in the meeting. Maybe they're going to break for dinner or something like that. There is very little coming out of, you know, concrete information right now. We just know that they've wrapped for the day. That's what we're told. But let's do this right now on a Monday afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Fred, do you have the bell? Thank you. Just curious. Okay, it is National Fajita Day, which sounds real. Thank you. It sounds really good to me. Only topped by this one, National Ice Cream Pie Day. Ah! Oh, I love an ice cream pie. Thank you.
I'm going to overuse it.
Right.
And National Mail Order Catalog Day, which I don't know whether that...
I'm stopping.
Yeah, what in the world is that about?
I don't know.
Does that even exist
like
anymore?
Like J. Crew catalogs, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Land's End, if you will.
Yeah, I get them mostly for flowers, you know, plantings.
Oh.
That sort of thing, like Brex, that'll say, order your tulip bulbs and that sort of thing. But I do remember the days of the Sears catalog or the JCPenney where that's the only thing that's where you saw stuff. That's it. There was no interweb, kids.
That's pretty much it. You're right.
Yep. Yeah. And they were huge, and they came in the mail, and we all got excited. The days.
I'm not going to tell you about the particular part of the JCPenney or the Sears catalog that excited me, but any man out there who was younger at the time will understand that completely, because that's all we had, too, there. That's all we had.
Well, 19 years ago, I was looking up this day in history, and there wasn't much, but for some reason, this amused me. 19 years ago today, in 2006, Snakes on a Plane was released, starring Samuel L. Jackson as an FBI agent trying to keep a witness alive aboard an overseas flight. So I thought, oh, isn't that cute? I'll go, and I went to YouTube, and I just, put in there, best line from Snakes on a Plane. And it was so profanity-filled that I didn't think I would do that to Ethan.
I appreciate that, Sue.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the nicest things you've ever done to me.
Uh-huh. Because he just talks about the Samuel L. Jackson standing at the front of the plane saying, I don't want any more MFing snakes on there.
Right.
It's just kind of funny. Did anybody see that movie?
Oh, I saw it. Yeah.
And how was it?
It was good for what it was. It was campy, good, kind of fun.
Campy, that's
fair. Don't think I ever went back and watched it again, but
I
certainly
can't
saw
imagine.
It.
All right, Volkswagen, this just annoys me. Okay. Volkswagen has introduced a monthly fee for its electric cars where people have to pay extra to unlock the full horsepower.
Ooh. What?
Oh, I could not hate this more.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're only doing it in the UK for now. So this is how, okay, you get around 15% more horsepower for $22 a month. Now, they want you to just pay monthly. They're just looking for, ridiculous. Here's an example of how it works. Their Volkswagen ID.3 electric car has 228 horsepower. But if you don't pay the fee, just over $20 a month, you can only access 201 of that horsepower. First of all, Big Brother controlling how fast you can go in a car. Hate it. Hate it.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
They claim it's, quote, nothing new. Quote, historically, many gas and diesel vehicles have been offered with engines of the same size, but the possibility of choosing one with more potency. Okay, remember this. I think we talked about this in Sue's News. They're not the first ones that have tried to gouge customers like this. A few years ago, it was BMW who tried to charge folks in the UK to use their heated seats. They ended up nixing it because too many people were mad.
Well, they should have been mad.
Good
I mean, you buy a car because of the features that they
yes.
might have, not because you want to go online and have the software dictate what you get because you pay more money.
Yeah, that's my question is, what is the hurting? Like, what is it costing Volkswagen to give them access to that extra horsepower?
That's
nothing,
just
right?
It. Nothing.
It's there's no purpose, literally
correct.
Zero purpose
grab.
To charging more.
Yes. It's just,
and it's not
grab.
Like it's going from 200 to 400 either.
Exactly.
That's the other thing that's weird about that.
It's just not even that much.
Because you take me up a couple hundred, I might be the guy that pays for the fee.
Just,
but
oh my gosh,
that's crazy. If you've purchased the vehicle, you should get everything that goes with it. You don't have to pay monthly for anything. There's also an option they think of just pay a one-time fee of $880. And Volkswagen says that option keeps it unlocked even if you sell the car.
How stupid.
Yeah, we'll see if that transfers over here when they try things like this. You know?
Yeah,
not as long as Trump's in office.
You know, we don't use, this is something I think that's misunderstood pretty broadly on the climate change front, is that we use vehicles very different over here than they do. You know, Fred, you were in Asia and
right.
I was in Europe, and they, you know, they have very small cars. They don't have the to and from to work like we do. The whole culture is different. So that's why I hate it when we try to compare things, you know, to this country. There's got to be a reason that I'm missing on this one, but
it's
I don't think that would
grab.
Work here at all. Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Sue. I think it's a money grab.
It's just a money grab. Well, okay, there's a study out from the University of Otago in New Zealand, and I looked this up. I find this interesting just because I would like to sleep better or longer. And here's what they said. Some light exercise before bed can help you sleep in longer the next day. All you have to do is pick some simple moves. You could do some chair squats or calf raises, standing knee lifts. Do them every 30 minutes for 4 hours before bed. Now, why do I have to stretch that out for 4 hours?
Yeah, wait a minute. Really?
Do them every 30 minutes for 4 hours before bed. I don't have 4 hours.
Nobody's doing that.
No.
Okay.
On average, participants in the study who moved around in the evening slept 27 minutes more than when they stayed glued to the couch. I guess the idea is just get up and move around. They went to bed the same time, but they woke up later. So each mini set could only last 3 minutes, so 24 minutes total. So just get up a couple times, do some light exercise for 4 hours before bed. Okay, now they also throw this in there. Friendly reminder, you should avoid heavy exercise before bed. It can raise your body temperature and heart rate. So you do have to keep it light.
Yeah, no problems there. I'm pretty compliant in that one.
Well, yeah, I guess you got that one under
control. I do the most intense exercise these days would be, though, after work when I get the puppy and then he eats and then I kind of run him around and we do kind of like a run-walk thing because he loves to sprint. I'm trying to get him, you know, kind of out of it so he can just chill on the couch when I'm ready to chill on the couch. Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see you running, Mark.
Well, why is that so funny to you?
It's not funny. It's
you think
just,
he wears like the short shorts, like the runner shorts.
Seeing you do something different than I've used to seeing.
You've
you
never
do.
Seen me run before. I guess you really wouldn't have. But I can do it. I'm capable. You know, told my daughter, the coach, she and my daughter's doing the soccer team. My daughter apparently has not learned how to run. Like, she doesn't know how to sprint.
So, like, her arms fall.
Yeah, her arms are kind of on the soccer field. And the coach is trying to coach that out of her where she can, you know, she's athletic, but she's learned how to sprint in the pool, not on the soccer field.
Yeah,
so I never even thought about that until Becky brought it up yesterday. I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right about that. So they're going to
Mark and try run with your arms flailing
I might.
Around.
That's what Fred thinks. That's what Fred envisions, I think.
Oh. All right, I love Denzel Washington. I mean, he's Denzel for heaven's sakes. But part of why I like him is he just doesn't take any crap of any kind. And he did an interview where someone asked him about, do you think you could ever be canceled? And he said, no.
Like and, woke cancellation,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That kind of cancellation.
Exactly.
Here we go.
Being quote unquote canceled.
What does that mean?
It means you lose public support.
Who cares? What made public support so important to begin with? I don't care who's following. You can't lead and follow at the same time, and you can't follow and lead at the same time. I don't follow anybody. Forget being followed. You can't be canceled if you haven't signed up. Don't sign up.
Don't sign up.
I love him. There you go.
Oh,
I love it. And there's a story out today about, I just thought this was bizarre. Well, I'll do it quickly. A mechanic in Minnesota was working on a 2015 Ford SUV when he found a wallet that an assembly worker left in the car 11 years ago. And he found it, the rightful owner, and said, yeah. Oh, and the guy's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I bet it fell out while I was making the car. And they got it back to him. I've just not heard a story about
that. Wow. Yeah, 11 years. Any of the credit cards still good?
I don't know. And finally, in Sue's News, we do have today's random fact. Okay. A pair of identical twins marrying identical twins is called a quaternary marriage. Genetically, their kids would technically be considered first cousins, but their DNA would be that of siblings. Try that one in the middle.
That's too much for my
brain.
Yeah,
I know.
That's
that,
too much.
That made my brain hurt here this afternoon. Right, I'm with you, Ethan. There you go, wrapping a Monday edition of Sue's News.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Very excited to talk with Jen Say after the top of the hour. She is with XXXY Athletics, also is very, very outspoken on a lot of these trans sports issues, along with Riley Gaines. She did an Emmy-winning Emmy award-winning documentary called Athlete A. Jen is a U.S. champion gymnast, and it was the Larry Nassar situation up there at Michigan. But she has a new film that she is producing, and it's called Generation COVID. Andrew James is the co-director of the film. As I welcome in my next guest, Shannon Robinson, who is the director of St. Louis County Sporting Kids and Community Facebook page. That is something, you know, I was promoting our segment, Shannon. How are you, first of all? I hope all is well.
I'm well. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. I knew that you would be very interested in this documentary because you were somebody that really picked up a lot of steam. I know that's how I got to know you 5 years ago during the COVID thing when we were exposing some of the nonsense that was going on in schools in particular, but also with municipalities. So you may want to tune into that because I think that that's such an important issue and still kind of undercovered when it comes to the damage that was inflicted on these kids.
I agree. Actually, I've heard about it, and I'm really excited. I'm really excited to watch it.
Well, I saw something, I think maybe it was Saturday morning, you tweeted something out here, and it said, still in the seventh grade halls of Parkway Southwest Middle School to greet the students, and I think you tagged Andrew Bailey in this and said, how do parents opt out of this? So basically, and this is not your school, or one of your kids doesn't go to this school, right?
Correct. No, this is in the Parkway School District. This is Southwest Middle, and a parent had sent this to me. A lot of the parents we met, like you said, we kind of met during COVID. I like to call it the common sense movement. And so I'm still active, and so are these parents. And so this was sent to me in the Parkway School, and quite frankly, I think these parents are just kind of tired of it. So this apparently was up last school year. Parents kind of pushed back on it. The school didn't do anything about it. And then when they showed up to the meet and greet last week for their teachers.
Yeah, meet the teacher, right. Yeah.
Yeah, they found that bulletin still there. And so parents obviously are outraged by it. They're frustrated by it. And, you know, the school should be a place of learning. They should not be a place of over-sexualization. You know, the children, we send our children to school to build foundations in reading and math and science and not to be introduced to adult themes and ideas about sexual preferences. So they're frustrated.
Yeah. So the I don't know, would you call it a bulletin board? Is that essentially what it is? And it's decorated with the pride flag around it. And there is a banner up above on the top of it that says LGBTQ. I think they should be punished for not including the IA and all the other letters. So, but we'll overlook that here for the moment. But then there's all these flags and there's all these, you know, little stickers or whatever you would call them, you know, post-it note type things that say bisexual, bigender, transgender, non-binary, almond-sexual. Oh, that was a different one. Almond-sexual, pride, berry-sexual, pansexual. That's a new one. There's a couple that I'm learning here. Lesbian, gay pride, omnisexual, gender fluid, agender. They're all up there, including almond-sexual, which, again, that has me very curious this afternoon. And the question would be, look, again, this is seventh grade. So my daughter just started fifth grade today. She's only a year away from middle school, and this is the kind of stuff that you're going to start getting when you get into these older grades with the, you know, the obviously it's more indoctrination forwarded or forward, if you will. Right, Shannon?
Right. No, unfortunately, it is in some of the schools. And I think what happens is when we have these lessons on the bulletin boards that focus on these different types of, you know, sexuality, I think we risk a lot of things. We risk confusing kids. We risk distracting them from their academics, which is why they're there. But also the most important, I think, is that it's crossing a line that rightfully belongs to the parents. It's the families. It's not the schools, in my opinion, that should guide children in personal conversations about sex and values in ways that, you know, match their age and beliefs. And the reason I tagged Andrew Bailey is because this is something that came up actually quite a few years ago in Rockwood. I used to be in the Rockwood School District. And in the state of Missouri, there is a state statute. It's 170.015, and specifically in Section 5. It discusses this exact thing, that schools are required to notify parents if any discussion of human sexuality topics will be introduced in any way. And then they have to give the parents the right to opt out. So my comment was, how do you opt them out?
Like, yeah, how do you opt
out of walking down the hallway? They're not letting the parents know, and they can't opt out of this. So parents are really frustrated. And I know the news got back to, it is State Rep Phil Oletting King. I apologize, I'm butchering his name, but he did contact the school and he requested that the boards be taken down. And from what I heard today, they've been taken down.
Oh, wow. So you did send another picture. Same school. This was from the sixth grade pod, which was a little different, but it was a bunch of kids up there that were either non-binary or gender fluid or whatever, and says love is love. But that was some positioning that took place for the sixth graders. So there again, you know, my daughter, and I'm going to see how this year goes in fifth grade, because obviously as these kids get a little older, the friends start talking about different things. Who knows what they're exposed to? But, you know, that seems a little too early to have stuff like that. And I guess when I saw this over the weekend, I was talking to my wife. I'm like, okay, maybe in high schools, although I don't think it belongs anywhere, but we're now trickling down damn near to, you know, elementary schools on some of this stuff. And by the way, there is stuff like this across the country in elementary schools, just not probably around here. Certainly in New York, LA, San Francisco, and elsewhere, you'd see the same things.
Right.
For the younger kids.
And that's why Missouri had stepped in. They're saying, look, some of these kids are pretty young, and the discussion should be about, again, human sexuality. Sexuality needs to be at the home. It needs to be in the home. It's not the school is not the place for it. And I agree that every child deserves to feel safe and respected and welcome in the classroom. But that can be taught through kindness and respect, anti-bullying. We can get that message across without putting sexual content front and center. I don't understand why it has to be front and center.
I don't either.
And parents, they don't even have a choice.
Yeah, because like you said, how do you opt out of it? And if they did cover, keep me posted, because if they covered up the posters, if they took them down, that would be very interesting. And I'm sure you'll have, you know, some teachers out there that will mock that or be opposed to doing that. But that's fascinating. Now, this is separate but related. You saw this situation from a couple of weekends ago where the guy got kicked out of Citi Field at the soccer game for wearing a MAGA hat. And, you know, apparently when all was said and done on that, that was an MLS policy that apparently that was being cited. But you have an organization, this is why it's separate but related, in whether it's the MLS or that team in particular, where you got pride stuff everywhere, all over the place, off the charts. So that stuff's okay, even though not everyone is on the same page with it. But if you wear a MAGA hat into a soccer game, that is cause for, you know, immediate removal and perhaps arrest if you don't comply. So I think calmer heads over there at the team prevailed. I was told that there was a briefing last week where they said, look, we're not going to enforce this stuff from MLS, so just leave people alone. If there's stuff that comes up and people complain, send them to us, and we'll kind of deal with it from there. So, you know, it's across the board, and these kids are exposed to, I really am kind of bracing myself. Look, my best friend is gay, and my daughter knows that, you know, so we've had exposure to things that have happened out there that she may not have complete comprehension of, but she's never really brought up some of the trans stuff, which I'm surprised by, because, you know, there's a fair amount of exposure. I try to not let her watch all of Fox News, but, you know, these kids are paying attention. They're following the stories I mentioned last year, and, you know, toward the end of the school year, you had this Minnesota pitcher and a high school team up there that was dominating the competition. All the kids on softball teams here in Missouri knew about it, right? They knew what was happening out there, but you kind of have to keep your mouth shut. You have to act like you don't know what's going on.
Right. I agree with you. And again, these topics, they're good conversations to have, but the parents need to be the one guiding those conversations, not the schools. Again, not these adults who want to butt in their opinion on things. It needs to be with the families, and the families should have the right to, again, opt out of things if they're not comfortable with it. They should have the right to do that.
Keep on them, Shannon. By the way, and I don't want to spread a rumor here, but there was some reporting today about, no, I'm concerned about this, and I haven't gotten a response. There was some reporting from Scott Fawn, who is a Jefferson City insider, that said that Andrew Bailey might be going to Washington to be part of the FBI. Now, I texted Andrew to see if he would confirm or deny. No response. He usually does respond. So I don't know what there is to that story, but I'd hate to lose him because he's doing such a great job here in Missouri. You know that, Shannon.
Yeah, crickets. That's never a good sign. I've heard that same rumor. So I think we're all interested to see what's going to happen with that. But I agree. I agree with you on, you know, he's done some really good things for Missouri and in St. Louis County recently. So you know, I applaud him for
that. I don't want him to take it. I just, if I can give him advice, don't take a professional, you know, advancement in your career. No, you know, his family, though, in a, you know, serious fashion, his family is very important. He's got the kids. I know that he travels a lot to and for, you know, from St. Louis and Jeff City. He's kind of located his home in between. So this would be a big move, and I'd be hard-pressed for me to believe that the family would have to stay back here in the St. Louis area. But we'll keep you posted on that. I just saw that earlier. I haven't seen any other confirmation. Shannon Robinson, always great to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
All right. We got Frank Cusimano coming up. And then don't forget Jen Tsai and her director, Andrew James, who made the film Generation COVID, coming up after 5 o'clock. Well, before I get to baseball, Scotty Scheffler, just these guys are so good. And Scheffler in particular, he's four shots down at the BMW Championship. This certainly didn't hurt. It was an 82-foot chip shot.
Look at Scheffler. Bobby Mack can't.
Frank Cusimano is here. It's an 82-foot chip on the 17th, the hardest hole at Caves Valley. It lands 60 feet short, rolls the rest of the way. It goes in, and that's his fifth PGA Tour title this year. Frank, I remember watching Tommy Fleetwood compete last weekend. That poor guy has had all these top three finishes, top five finishes, top 20 finishes. Never won on the PGA Tour, and Scottie Scheffler's won five times this year.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, that call by Dan Hicks, maybe he was channeling his inner Jack Buck. I can't believe what I just saw.
Yeah.
A beautiful call. And here's the thing. Mark, in his last 33 tournaments, he's won 14 times. I mean, the only guy I can think of that ever had a run like that is named Tiger Woods. And he likely won't ever get to Tiger Woods' career majors or his charisma, but he's the closest thing to it. And how could anybody think that anybody else could win the Tour Championship next week in Atlanta than Scottie Scheffler?
Now, sometimes I get confused about this. If he doesn't win that tournament, he can still win the championship because of the point system. Is that accurate?
It is, and it's a convoluted way, and I don't know the actual numbers.
Right,
but
right.
I don't know if we'll have to add them up. I think he's just going to flat out win it.
I think you might be right about that. Well, let's talk about the Cardinals. They didn't do a lot of winning over the weekend, did they?
No, it was brutal, and you've now lost five in a row, and you're headed to Miami, and Brendan Donovan is on the injured list. That just happened earlier today. It's about as bleak as it possibly could be. I mean, that was just rough yesterday. You had this beautiful moment where Joel Pozo hits the home run with his son's face on the knob of his bat after promising kids at Mercy Hospital that he was going to hit a home run, and he hit it. And you think, oh my gosh, this is a great story. And yet they find a way to lose with two costly errors by Thomas Sajesi in the ninth inning. It's rough. Three games under 500, too.
Yeah, you mentioned Brendan Donovan going to the injured list, yet we've seen very little of Donnie here over the past week. I know he had one start in there, I think in the Colorado series. He had, of course, the big pinch hit two-run double against Colorado as well, but in large part we haven't really seen him. And the Cardinals, Frank, why wait this long to put Donnie on the injured list and as a result play with a short bench?
Yeah, that's something that's a legitimate criticism of the organization, because like groin injuries are like hamstring injuries, they just linger and linger. And he's such a gamer, he probably had something to do with it. But if you would have shut it down earlier, you'd have him back quicker. Let me give you my quick Brendan Donovan theory, if I could. If Brendan Donovan is your best player, you're not going to be a great team. I mean, he is a good player. He should be your fourth best player. And unfortunately, in the Cardinals, if you put the whole package together, it's either he or Mason Wint. He's your best player. So I love him on my team. I don't love him being your best player.
What are the realistic – I mean, this gets way ahead of the conversation. But look, you need – at least one player on this team that could hit like 30-plus home runs, and we just don't have that.
No, and that's why I said, Mark, I remember at the beginning of the year, I mean, this is the first time I've ever headed into a Cardinal season in my three decades covering the team where I think they have no chance to win. I got to tell you something. Next year is going to be my second year doing that.
Right.
Things are not going to change this offseason unless all of a sudden Bill DeWitt says, you know what, I want to spend, $150 million. I'm going to bring in a 30-home-run hitter, and a guy who can win 15 games. The likelihood of that happening is not real strong.
That's kind of sad, unfortunately.
It is. And so what we're going to have to hope is that the learning curves for J.J. Weatherholt and Mr. Doyle, Liam Doyle, are expedited. And, you know, look, Skeens got to the big leagues in 11 months. Can we do the same with Doyle? And how quickly can J.J. Weatherholt hit 310 with 25 home runs in the big leagues?
You bring up J.J. Weatherholt, and that brings up my next question. Jose Fermin is the Cardinal that is brought up as a result of Donnie going on the injured list. And, boy, you look on Twitter, doesn't take long to see Cardinal fans unhappy that Weatherholt, who has been mashing at AAA through 26 games, not up at the big league level yet. I personally am okay with the Cardinals taking their time with him, but I want to know your thoughts on when you would like to see J.J. Weatherholt up with the big league club, Frank.
Well, I'd like to see him in the lineup tonight in Miami. But what the Cardinals are thinking right now is that, and I think everybody's kind of familiar with this, is you start the clock ticking if you bring him up now. So you would blow that year. He could become a free agent a year earlier if you bring him up now. And I think that's clearly the thinking with J.J. Weatherholt. Or they may think, you know what, I want him to get some more Triple League at-bats. I got a feeling, though, he could probably hit better than Jose Fermin. Maybe that's just me, but I think he could.
We went into the weekend wondering if we'd even see Paul Goldschmidt on the field because of a knee injury. He did get on the field. He did quite well, I think, this weekend, unfortunately, didn't he?
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up because the one thing, you know, there's not a whole lot of, there's not as many Cardinal fans as there used to be. They averaged 30,000 for the weekend, which is solid but not great. But those 30,000 fans, or how many were there yesterday, gave him just an incredible ovation. He had to step away for a split second because you felt it like there was a tear in his eye. And he deserved it. He's an MVP, classy guy. And I was worried that he wasn't going to get a chance to have the moment because he came into the game for defensive purposes, but it's not quite the same.
No.
It's the at-bat where the catcher comes out, kind of stops the game, and it was really, really cool.
It's pretty awesome. He deserved it for sure. We miss him here in St. Louis. Frank, we will talk to you on Friday afternoon.
Okay, guys, thank you so much. Take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.